You can turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 7. All right, young people, have you ever heard of Noah? You ever heard of Noah? You remember what Noah did? Noah built a big old boat. Noah's Ark, right? Genesis chapter 7. We're going to look at this account of Noah and the flood. And Noah and he puts all the animals and his family in it. Genesis chapter 7. You know, I'm grateful for everybody being here today. It's a good turnout. It's good to be in the Lord's house. And we're going to look at some truths here. In Genesis chapter 7, I'm going to start reading here in verse 1. It says, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come, thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wives and his sons' wives with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of clean beasts and of the beasts that are not clean, and of fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the water flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah, and Shem, and Ham, and Japheth, and sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird after every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is all the breath of life. And they went, and they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth." There in verse 11, the windows of heaven were opened. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, I am thankful, Lord, for this opportunity. Lord, I'm thankful for those you brought in here today. And Lord, I pray that you'll fill me with your Spirit now. I need you, Lord, here to preach your word. I pray you'll use me, fill me, Lord, and do what only you can do here today, and that's to speak to your people. And Lord, I just pray your will be done. I pray, Lord, if there is somebody here or over the internet that's never been born again, Lord, I pray that today will be their day of salvation. And Lord, we just pray now you meet with us in a special way. We'll give you all the glory and honor that's done, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Genesis chapter 6, that ends with God telling Noah to build the ark. But Genesis chapter 7 starts with Noah, with God telling Noah to come into the ark. Right? The earth's population had gotten so bad, they had gotten so bad that God was going to destroy every person, every animal, everything with a flood. Now, the people in that time did not understand about a flood because they had never seen it rain. Never seen rain falling from the sky, never a thunderstorm. They probably never even heard thunder, right? They never saw rushing of waters. They had literally never seen the windows of heaven open up. You see, people in this day did not believe Noah about the destruction to come because they had never seen such a thing. Who would have thought? But Noah, for 120 years, preached. He was in judgment all the while he was building this humongous boat. Out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, think about it for a moment. Imagine his neighbors. What would they have thought about Noah? Imagine his family, his friends. What were they thinking about Noah? Here is this man who has totally lost his mind. He's going off the deep end. What is wrong with Noah? He's building this never even rained. All because he thought God was going to judge the world, sending a flood upon the earth. Now think about it. The laughter, the mockery, folks, even persecution would have come along with that. And even us here, are you willing to stand for God? Are you willing to stand and be the only one in the whole world where you stand? God, what about in school? Right? If somebody pokes fun at you, makes fun at you for coming to church or believing in God, are you willing to be faithful like Noah? Noah's a great example. To the end, he was faithful to the call that God had given to him. He preached and he stood firm. He didn't falter on that. He stood firm despite everything that was going on around him, despite all the mockery and the jokes that came upon him, despite all the trials and the tribulations. Noah never finished the he stood to the very end. And here's the thing. He did this in the midst of a godless society. He did this in the midst of a world that had turned completely away from God. Nobody else followed God. Nobody else believed God. There was not a single person left other than Noah and his family that lived for God, that believed his family were it. They were it. But nothing's really changed today, has it? People still do not believe God. They do not believe hey, the Lord's going to come back, rapture us, take us out of this world, one day destroy this very earth that we live in. One judgment, every single person. But you know what? Here's the thing. Most people today just live day to day about what's going to happen when they die. They just live for today. They never think about eternity, what's going to happen to me when I die. But if you know the Bible, if you know anything, even if you know anything about life, everybody dies. Everybody's going to die. Hebrews 9:27 proves it. And as it is appointed on the man once to die, but after this, the judgment, you see, preaching that message is not popular, is it? The message today is not popular. It's not popular for no one. In his day, it's popular in our day. People will deny it. They will reject. They will turn away from it. They will leave good preach in churches that preach, thus saith the Lord, and they'll go to another church where their Bible isn't preached at all. Right? People deny the truth of God's Word, but Jesus puts it like this. In Matthew 27, he says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You see, we're living in the midst of society, aren't we? We're living in the midst of what has gone wrong with our world, what has happened with our world. Are we willing to stay focused? Are we willing to stay like Noah did? So here today, I'm just going to give you a story of Noah's ark. So number one, I want you to see that Noah was a righteous man. Okay, Noah was a righteous man. And in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, the Bible says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There was one man who remained true to God in the midst of this dying world, in the midst of a perverse world, in the midst of this lost world. It was Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And why is that? Because he believed God. He believed God. He believed God's promises of salvation through the prophecy. The coming Savior, Jesus Christ, would one day come and go to the cross of Calvary and pay for the sin of all the world, and Noah believed that. Noah believed God, and Noah was a righteous man, meaning he was a saved man. And you see, salvation makes all the difference, doesn't it? Salvation makes all the difference in a person. You see, Noah was saved, and the rest of the world wasn't. For 38 years, I lived like the rest of the world. In Noah's days, 38 years I lived as a lost man. Did what lost people did. Bars, what I wanted. I indulged in sin, and it didn't bother me. Why? Because I was lost. I was dead in my trespasses and sins. But you see, Noah was a saved man. He was a separated man. And at 38 years old, I got born again, trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and that Holy Spirit came in and He changed me. I couldn't go to the bars anymore, could I? No. Couldn't listen to that music that I used to listen to before. No, couldn't do that. Separation from those things, the Bible talks about that. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. You see, he was separate from the rest of the world. And why? Because he was a righteous man. He was a saved man. He didn't get involved in going to the movies and doing all those things and going to the bars and all those things. He was separated. And Noah lived in probably the most wicked time of all mankind. Probably the most wicked time. Man was so corrupt. Man was so wicked. But yet, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was in Genesis 6:12. It says, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. He says, for all flesh, all of it, all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Imagine, only Noah and his family for the Lord. What would you do if you were the only one? What would you do if you and your family were the only one willing to serve the Lord, willing to for the Lord, willing to do what the Lord commanded us to do? I think of Daniel. I think of Daniel as a young man, a teenager, getting pulled up, out of everything that he knew, and his parents probably killed people he knew, killed him, and taken into Babylon as a slave, and he's put in before the king, and all the other Hebrew children have gone ahead and just ate the king's meat. But Daniel says, no, I'm not going to do it, king. I'm not going to defile my body. He stood. He stood when everybody else failed and gave in. What would you do? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hey, I'm not going to worship you, O king. I'm not going to bow to you, king. My God could save me if he wants, but I'm not going to bow to you, O king. You can put me in the fiery furnace, it doesn't matter. But I'm not bowing to you. I'm willing to go and be burnt in that fiery Lord, but are you willing to stand? Are you willing to take a stand, even if it affects your job or your life? Willing to be that only one? Noah. Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith, Noah. You see, it's all faith. It boils down to faith. No matter if you're saved, it's all faith. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, he condemned the world and became heir of the which is by faith. You see, everything boils down to faith. Noah had faith in the right place. Noah heard God's word. He believed God's word. And he acted God's faith. You see, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. But we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You got to hear the word of God if you're going to have faith. You see, the world says, I got faith in this, and I got faith in that, and I got faith in this. But it's not faith, because it's not the Word of God. You got to have faith, and that faith cometh by the Word of God. Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, the Bible says, He have I seen righteous before me in this generation. See, Noah was a righteous man, but Noah wasn't a righteous man because of what he's doing. He wasn't righteous in the fact that he built an ark. He wasn't righteous because he did that. You see, if we look at it like that, the Bible says, all my righteousness is filthy rags. There's none righteous, no, not sin that comes short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but guess what? Believing is righteousness. Believing God, believing His Word, and taking Him at His Word, that faith. In Genesis 15:6, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Noah was a saved man. In Genesis 6:22, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so. You see, Noah, as we read the story of Noah, right, we've probably heard it since we were a kid, right? One of those stories we hear over and over again. But here's the thing. Noah is a perfect example for us as well as adults. He's a perfect example for us here today because God requires obedience and faithfulness out of all His children. Obedience to His Word, faithfulness to His Word. And 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You see, Noah was faithful. Noah lived by God's Word. He didn't live from his own words. He lived by God to please the Lord. He didn't do his own will. You see, Noah didn't change anything to God's Word. He didn't add anything to God's Word. He didn't take away anything from God's Word. You see, Noah said, you know, God said that I need to make one window. But, you know, there is three stories. I think what he really meant was I need windows. Nope, he didn't do that. You see, you change God's words, then you start getting into trouble. All the way back in Genesis chapter 3, the devil tempted Eve with, yea, hath God said. Yea, hath God said, just trying to change God's word a little. And then you wonder why we're in the mess we're in with so many different Bible versions, because people want to keep changing the Word of God. Noah didn't change the Word of God. You see, God doesn't tell Noah, hey, built the ark, now you've earned your right. Say, you built the ark and now you just earned it. No, He doesn't say that. And here's why. Because the ark is a type of Christ. The ark is a type of Christ. It's a type of salvation. And Noah couldn't earn his way in, even though he built the ark. He couldn't earn his way into salvation by doing his work. Titus 3:5 says, not of righteousness which we have done, to his mercy he saved us. His mercy. You see, if Noah was going to get to heaven, it was going to have to be by God. It's going to have to be his righteousness, not ours. But if Noah could do something to get to heaven, then it would change everything. That would have changed God's plan for all mankind. You see, if that were the case, we would all try to do things to get to heaven. Because in our own mind, in our own flesh, we just think that we got to try to do this and try to be good. Before I was saved, I used to think, you know, hey, I'm a pretty good person, right? One day I'll die and I'll stand before God and He'll bring the scale out and He'll just start loading all my good works up. And then there'll be a few bad works, but the scale would always tip over, right? I would have worked my way. I'd have done enough good things that eventually I would have got into heaven. But that's not the case. That's not the Bible. Now you're talking religion, right? Religion is man working, man doing, man hoping, man seeing, man this and never. You know, at the end of the day, you talk to a religious man, and at the end of the day, he says, well, I'm still hoping. Still hoping. Well, the Bible says you can see Christianity, man trusting Christ for what He did. There's nothing I can do, nothing of my own good person that can get me to heaven. It's all in what He did. For grace are you saved through faith. It's all in what He did. Noah was a righteous man. In 2 Peter 2:5 it says, and spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, and the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Hey, Noah was a righteous man. Let me give you another one here. The Lord invited Noah in. I want you to see that the Lord invited Noah in. Look there, Genesis 7, verse 1. You see, Noah built the ark, but the Lord invited him in. It says in verse number 1, and the Lord said unto Noah, come. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. You see, this is the great invitation of God to Noah. He said, come. Say go, he said come, meaning this, meaning that God was already inside. God was already inside the ark, and God is calling Noah to come into the ark to be with him. And that's what that means, that he's telling he's already in there. Hey Noah, you've trusted me outside the ark for all of these years. Noah, come in the ark. You trust me in the ark. There's safety in the ark. All you got to do is come. You and your family and all the animals, come, Noah. It's going to be okay no matter where the ark goes, no matter what you do in life, no matter where you go. The Lord protected us on this side. He's going to protect us on this side. Come. You see, Again, this here is again the picture of Jesus Christ. It's a picture of salvation. Noah is safe in the ark. The Lord says, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Wherever we go, He's with us. And Noah found safety, and he found security from all that judgment around him by entering into. You can do the same here today. If you've never done that, if you've never trusted Jesus, Isaiah 1:18 says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You see, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Revelation 22:7, and the Spirit and the Bride come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is thirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You know who that water of life is? Jesus. Jesus. Jesus is the water of life. And the invitation is extended to us here today. It's extended to you. The word come is that gift. It's a marvelous gift. It's a free gift. And it was all provided by way of the cross. It was all provided by Jesus Christ coming to the cross and dying. You see, I'm not here for religion. I'm here giving you God's Word. It's all about coming to Jesus Christ, and He will take you to heaven. And Jesus makes this claim in John 14:6. He says, I am the way. Me, stop here. I am the way. Jesus is the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. That's it. Jesus says He is the only way. The world's going to tell you there's a lot of ways. The devil's going to tell you, oh, you can do all these things and it's going to lead. And that's not the case. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is the is the only answer. He is the only way of salvation. There is only one gospel. Jesus Christ is the gospel. Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God of salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. See, that's the power of God, is the gospel. You say, what is the gospel? Here's the gospel. The gospel is God loves you, and He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross for you. He shed His blood, poured out His life for you, took all of your sin debt upon Him on the cross, and He died on that cross for you. They buried Him and they put Him in the tomb, and 3 days later He rose from the grave victorious. He conquered sin, He conquered death, He conquered the grave, and He did it for you. He did it all for you. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You see, all of our righteousness is nothing. Dirty rags. We got to have His righteousness. You see, He is the only way you can get to heaven. And all you have to do is receive Him. The Bible says in 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name. You see, everything He did regarding the flood was by faith. It was that the command of God, even getting on board the ark, was by the command of God. God said, come. Come. And it's all, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Will you receive that gift today, if you never have? Let me give you another truth. Number three, I want you to see here that the Lord is the one that shut the door. Noah did not shut the door. The Lord shut the door. Genesis 6:16 says, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, meaning there's only one door. There's only one way into the ark. There's only one way out of the ark. There's only one. And in Genesis 7:16 it says, and they went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. The Lord did that. The Lord shut him in. The Lord said, come, into the ark. They came in. Noah and family. They went into the ark 7 days before the rains came, and the Lord shut the door. And when the Lord shut the door, you know what He did? He sealed that door. That door was sealed. It wasn't going to leak. You know, I've been dealing with this roof leak. It come back on me last week when we had that big rain. It came back, and I'm dealing with a rain leak. It's a thing with rain. It just finds its way in somehow. But God sealed the no rain coming in. There wasn't no water coming in. He was safe in the ark. He was protected in the ark. And why? Because God used the ark. The ark was the appointed place for Noah and his family and all the animals to have safety in. It was the ark. You see, God gave the world 120 years to repent. Noah preached for approximately 120 years while he was building the ark. He gave the world time to repent, but nobody did. Nobody turned from their sin, and nobody turned and followed the Lord, and now it was too late. The door had closed. The door had closed, and God closed the door, and the door was sealed. He sealed it shut. No possibilities of it leaking, no possibilities of any of them getting in or out. Once the door was shut, no one could get in. No one could get it open. Think about that. All those that did not enter the ark when the door was open, now stopped. They're now stranded. Once that door was shut, there was no more opportunity to enter. This tells us a few things. First of all, it tells us that once the door was closed, that God's grace for the unbelievers will end. When that door closes, there's no grace. There's no grace put upon us. That time of mercy will be over. Grace will be gone. Mercy will be gone. The day will come when God's mercy will then turn into wrath. The doors closed. The rain came. You see, today, His mercy is plentiful. His grace abounds. Today, you can come into that door, but when that door is closed, God's long-suffering will have ended. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us that His long-suffering for us, right? He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's Him. He's suffering to us. But one day, that door closes. Right? It's kind of like the devil. He wants to keep you numb. He wants to keep you comfortably numb. He wants to keep you just enough to where you don't really get any feathers rocked, or you don't need to find anything out and decide to enter the door. The devil keeps you numb, but one day that door closes. The old heart stops ticking. The old breath stops breathing. You see, as long as it's open, you can get in. You can get saved. I mean, think about it. All those people gathered around making fun of Noah for all those years. Noah goes into the boat day one, and maybe day two, they're like, you know, I haven't seen Noah in a while. I haven't seen any animals. What's going on? Day three, you're like, where's Noah? And they're probably poking fun at him, right? Day four, day five, right? They're really probably going after him now. All the crazy Noah's in his boat. No rain. But what do you think day seven when that clouds got dark and that rain started coming? Windows of heaven opened up. Oh, they couldn't get in. It was too late. They banged on that door. No doubt they cried, let it in. But it was too late. The door had closed. The door had closed, and God had sealed it, and now every one of the people were eternally lost. They were lost. They were going to die in that flood. It says in Revelation 20, 14 and 15, and death and hell are cast into the fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Listen, every other person, every other animal died that day in this flood. This was a worldwide flood. Every other person, every man died in that flood. Genesis 7:21 tells us, says, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beasts, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. You see, the closing of the door also tells the believer of another thing: eternal salvation, eternal security. It teaches eternal salvation, eternal security. Could Noah get out of the boat? No. Could his kids get out of the boat? Could his wife get out of the boat? Could anybody get out of the boat? No. Because they entered the door and God shut the door. There was no other way out. There was no other way out. And you see, since man has nothing to do with salvation, he has nothing to do with keeping it. In John chapter 10, starting in verse 27, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Jesus Christ, you're saved. You are secure in His hand. You also got God the Father secured in His hand. And then the Holy Spirit comes and He seals you unto the day of redemption. You're not getting out. There's nothing you can do. Yeah, you could sin. Your relationship can be hindered because of sin. But once you're saved, you can never lose your salvation. Once you're in Christ, you can never be out of Christ. John chapter 6 and verse 37, "Then all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." You get that? I will not cast him anyone out. Eternal life, everlasting life, means just that. Jesus said what He meant, and He meant what He said. Eternal life is just that. When you're in the ark of salvation, you are secure, sealed until the day of redemption. That's a glorious truth. If you've been born again, I got another truth here I'm going to give. But before I do that, I want you to read here Matthew chapter 7. See, the world's going to tell you that there's a lot of different ways to heaven. Right? But Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." That's the world we live in today. Everybody and going as fast as they can in sin, and sin leads to death. But then verse 14 tells us, "Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be behind it." Hey, listen, Noah building the ark had the way of salvation. He had the way to be secure, to be safe from that storm. And everybody but Noah and his family denied it. Hey, listen, "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Few there be that find the truth. Let me give you one last truth here. Number 4, the door that was open was only open for a short time. The door that was open was only open for a very short time. In John chapter 10, starting verse 7, he says, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be go in and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Hey, listen, Jesus Christ is that door. He brought you here today, and you stand at the door, and the door is Jesus Christ. The door is eternal life, and the door of salvation is open to you here today. It may not be open to you tonight. It may not be open to you in an hour from now. It may not be open to you tomorrow, but as we stand right here, right now, it is open. And at some point in time, it will close. In Proverbs 29, verse 1, says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Jesus Christ is the door. Religion isn't the door. Jesus Christ is that door. You must come to that door. You must come to Jesus Christ for salvation. You see, every person has stood at that door. Whether you realize it or not, the Bible says in John 6:44 that no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. The Holy Spirit of God, and God has to draw you to Him. And every person has stood at the door, even looking outside at the world and creation. He tells us in Romans 1:20, He says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power, so that they are without excuse." They're without excuse. Hey, if you stand at the door and you refuse to go through the door, you refuse to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you take your last breath and you go out into eternity, there'll be no excuse. You will not be able to blame your parents. You will not be able to blame the church. You will not be able to blame your pastor. You will not be able to blame anybody other than yourself. God brings every person to the door. You have to choose to go through that door. And John chapter 10, verse 1 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the shepherd, but climbeth some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Again, Jesus is the only way. He's the only door. There's only one door. He is it. The church isn't the door. Pastor isn't the door. Your baptism isn't the door. A godly family member isn't the door. Jesus Christ is that door. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, Jesus is standing at the door of the church and He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Jesus knocking on your door today? Is He knocking on the door of your heart? You have a choice. You don't have to open that door. He won't make you. You can reject Him. You can deny Him. But if you open that door and you let Him in, He says, "Come in and we'll sup with you. And He'll give you eternal life." Imagine all those people outside of that ark that day. Imagine all those people outside as they watched those rains begin to mount up and to just pour out and people begin to get swept. It was too late. It was too late. The waters swallowed them up. So here I'm going to close with this. When the flood of God's judgment is poured out on this world again one day, when you take your last breath or rapture happens, whatever the case, when we leave this world, the only thing that's going to matter is what side of that door are you on? So I ask you, what side of that door are you on? Are you on the outside looking, or are you safe in the ark of salvation and you've already gone through the door, Jesus Christ? Do you know for sure heaven when you die? What is your faith? What are you in? To get there, you see, Jesus is the only answer. He is the only way. There is other way. Maybe you're here today and you need to get that settled. In just a minute, we'll have an invitation and we can get that settled today. We can show you how, from God's Word, to get that settled. You say here, "I'm a Christian. I've been born again. I've gone through the door. I'm in heaven when I die." Well, are we living like Noah? Are we living a godly life? Are we eternity in the wicked and dying world that we live in? Our example, living a separated life. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The question is up to you. Which side of the door are you on? Let's pray.